Good afternoon, Los Angeles and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, the phenomenon of the 80s, on KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. Today's topic is called The Game of Life. And or the challenge. And you know, I'm taking a look at human nature today and human behavior, because as a soul who sometimes feels he's extraterrestrial, I personally feel that I am horribly misplaced in this dimension and on this planet because of the way things happen around here. And I even find myself doing stupid things and making stupid mistakes as a human, where I say to myself, gosh, we humans really are a weird bunch of people. You know, I've been looking at relationships now all my life, and with focus on relationships now, more or less the last 20 years for myself. And it is so weird how I myself approach relationships and how so many other people approach relationships. Do you know that most people I know that are in relationships find it necessary to either fight with each other on a regular basis, cheat on each other, which means have an extramarital or extra relationship affair on a regular basis, or just frankly treat each other like dirt or negatively? And, you know, you do find a lot of marriages and relationships survive and last a lot longer when there is either the lying, the cheating, or the mistreatment that goes on. You know, you say to yourself, why do these women stay in marriages where their husbands beat them? Or why do these women stay in marriages where their husbands cheat on them? Or why do men stay in relationships where they know their women are cheating on them? You know, and in many ways, when we take a look at relationships in life, it is such an incredible game. It is such a big, huge competition that it makes you wonder what happens to all the good people. You know, there are some of us out there that are so sensitive. You know, if you're like me and you have a lot of water in your chart, maybe a touch of Libra, because we do find that people with Libra rising and Libra moons oftentimes like or radiate towards relationships that are void of anger and upset. I, for one, don't. I've had enough of that hostility in my life. So whenever I get in relationships and I see any anger or upset come up, it scares me and I kind of run from that. So I'm a little vulnerable in that end. But I also find myself, along with many millions of other people on this planet, going after people that are either unattainable or that are usually such big challenges that you know they don't like you, you know they don't want you, you know they've told you that they're not attracted to you, but still you pursue them. But I'm just wondering how many of you are out there chasing a wraith, okay? And the definition of chasing a wraith, which is also known as phantom or ghost, is a person who is who thinks they're in a relationship with another person, and the other person either constantly rejects them, doesn't even see them, uses them for their occasional sexual whim, or just overall treats them like dirt, or has repeatedly advised them to stay away, to get out of their lives, to stay out of the relationship. And it's basically unrequited love, unfulfilled imbalance, and yet so many of us do that. Isn't that weird? And then on the other hand, what is really weird is that if you've ever been in a position where you finally show yourself and you finally open yourself up and you finally dedicate your love to someone by giving them the engagement ring or by finally admitting to them that you do care, that you do love them, that you do want to marry them or live with them, or if you want that commitment, have you ever noticed that the color or the energy of that relationship will almost overnight change? You could be having a hot and passionate relationship for weeks or months or whatever, and then finally get sensitive and close and warm with somebody and let them know you care, and then they don't want to see you anymore. Did you ever wonder why that happens? Well, you know, I, for one, know why it happens in my life. I know why I am either bored or tired of a woman that offers no challenge, because I'm a game player, which means that, you know, if I'm not working or if I'm not eating or sleeping or hanging with my friends, I usually find myself at the computer terminal or at a Monopoly board or a video game or whatever, Nintendo, trying to beat these games. You know, like the phenomena about Nintendo, and if you wonder why there is such a phenomena raging through this world with Nintendo is because it is currently human nature to be a very competitive force, a very competitive entity or an individual. That's why we find ourselves buying Nintendos and then going through the cartridges one after another. If you have Nintendo, you'll notice there are some cartridges you haven't played anymore because you've beaten them, because you've conquered them. You've got the ring or the princess at the end of the game, and once you're finished, it's over. Well, oftentimes it's the same things with relationships. Oftentimes, we put ourselves in a position and we ourselves are approached by others that put us in a position, right, of either being conquered just like a Nintendo game, or we try to conquer other people just like it was a Nintendo game. And even though we start off thinking logically that it's going to be fair for us to be loving and nurturing and pampering and erotic and lustful and sensitive and tender and caring with the individual that we're going to be involved with, we know down deep inside that it's a game, that it's a big game, and in case that person should ever give up or surrender or commit to us or let us know about their love, it's like finishing the Nintendo game. It's like capturing the princess, and that relationship never really seems to be the same again, okay? Or, you know, same thing with like you. You know, like, what happens when someone finally tells you that they love you and that they want a commitment? You're the target of the game. It's like you could ordinarily like someone a whole lot, then all of a sudden they could all of a sudden turn their coin and open themselves and view their emotions out to you, and then all of a sudden you get bored, you know, and it's over and you've conquered them. You know, it makes you wonder. You know, like I've done a study and to try to find out about successful relationships, and I have found that, of course, a lot of us that are not nomadic, that do not have wandering tendencies or do not set ourselves up into positions of karma that are competitions and like unto games, are those of us that have squares or oppositions, which means if you have a stressed Venus or Mars in your chart, and mainly if you're interested in women, whether you're a man or a homosexual woman, then if your Venus has an opposition or a square on it, a square is what we call a semi-challenge or competition, but the opposition is a major challenge or competition. So the more squares and oppositions you have on your Venus as a man or a gay woman, then we have some idea of what kind of challenge you need in a relationship, usually the impossible dream type challenge, okay? Same with Mars. If you're a woman and you either have a Saturn aspect on your Mars, square trine sextile or opposition, or you have a Uranus aspect there, or you have any square or opposition to your Mars, then that is also a nomadic quality which sets life up to be a game or a competition. Now, one wonders why so many people out there that are in their middle ages and in their young grouping ages during the sexual revolution that's become more open. You know, there's always been a sexual revolution on this planet, but it hadn't been totally accepted until recently, the last 100 years. And suddenly, you know, it becomes quite obvious that many people have many partners, that you can go through 50 or 60 or 100 or 200 intimate sexual relationships in your life before you're 40 or 50. And I, you know, just doing a random sample on my clients, I find that an average number for women, it would be between 50 and 200 lovers, and an average number for men would be from 100 up to 500 lovers, you know, by the time they're 40 or 50. And, you know, that's quite a few people to go through. So not only do we set ourselves up into this pattern, into this cycle of one game after another, and every time someone finally does bear their emotions to us, we get tired, we get bored. It's like taking another one of those Nintendo cartridges and putting it on the shelf and say, well, I've beaten that one, time to go to another one, right? And we do find, you know, we do find that the people that are allowed to settle down, the people that are allowed to have commitment and to have balance, obviously, are people that do not have as much karma on the Venus and Mars. I take a look at my parents, and even though they do fight, you know, at times, Dad does have a trine to his Venus, and Mom does have a trine on her Mars. And they both have seventh house planets that are also trined. And we find that marriages and relationships that last oftentimes involve one or both partners that will have trine support to the Venus and Mars which is sort of like, I would have to say, it is such an incredible strength. It is almost like a Clint Eastwood type approach to relationships, where you don't come across insecure, you don't come across overwhelming, you don't come across boring, you don't come across totally committing, but what you do reflect is kind of like a nonchalant attitude where you understand the relationship's there, you don't need to identify it or analyze it, you don't need to lay it out on paper, it's just something that roots itself and grows. You know, so we do find that these people that don't have the karma, don't have the nomadic tendencies, that don't really see relationship as a game, but, you know, even though human behavior and relationships still are a game, what we do find is people with less nomadic tendencies, what they do is they can handle the battle a lot better than those of us that are nomadic. Now, this battle, the battle syndrome part of life is a game topic today is interesting. I'll tell you why, okay? Because there's a fine line. There is a fine line that draws the difference between needed challenges, right? Which means, you know, some guys think it's normal and natural to treat their women like dirt, right? And vice versa, some of the women feel it's natural to treat their lovers in a way where they don't give them everything they need, like sex or like affection or attention, right? So the body is used and the attitude is used to kind of create an air or an aura of something that is still needed to be desired. Right, but there's a fine line that separates that simple rejection, right, or that simple issue or problem of imbalance that exists, and then the need or the desire to bolt. In other words, you say to yourself, "Well, I know if I don't treat her as good as I should, that she'll probably stick around because I know she loves me. And if I start showing her how sensitive and loving I am to her, then she'll leave because it'll get boring for her, right? But the question is, if you keep treating her like dirt, she might leave anyway because she might reach a boiling point and get fed up, you know? So relationships today, especially if you have the square or the opposition or both on your Venus as a one chasing after women or on your Mars as one chasing after men, you know, is a strange aspect because you have nothing to go on. In other words, oftentimes in relationships, I really try to be nice to people. You know, I find that people, when they approach me, they go, "Wow, it's Farley Mallers, the guy in the radio, the astrologer, you know, works for The Rock and all that stuff, and great personality and tremendous charisma, great eyes and all that stuff." And then once they, if they get to meet me, and they overcome the wall of how difficult it was to find me and get close to me, then they realize how vulnerable and sensitive and how nice I can be. It's like a Nintendo cartridge, right? And you just put it on the shelf. And you say, "Well, I've beaten that game." But, you know, whenever I've acted standoffish, or I play the part of the rogue, or disinterest, oh, then you never lose their interest. You know, they hang on, they hang on, they hang on. So one wonders how to approach commitment when you do have a nomadic chart like that. You know, if you do have a chart like me, I have Venus square Neptune. You might have a Venus square Saturn, or a Venus square Mars, or a Venus square Mercury, or not square Mercury, a Venus square Moon, or a Venus square Sun. You could have a Venus opposition Saturn, a Venus opposition Uranus. And then the complexity and the complications involved with trying to find relationship balance could be almost innumerable as to some of the different types of strange behavioral patterns you could have been involved with. And that's why people go through so many different relationships. You know, because they don't know what they're doing. They have nothing to go on. And it's like I say, are you supposed to be nice and respectful to people? Well, what happens? You know, like when I look at some of these relationships that have lasted a long time, every person that comes out of that relationship tells me, "Look, this marriage has lasted a long time, but every single day we've had to work on it. And every single day we'd have to ask ourselves the question, do we still want to be married to each other?" You know, so I think having relationships for many people can be a battle and can be a fight and an uphill climb that requires a certain amount of consistency that you never get tired of that game. That somehow it is like sitting down with someone and playing a game of Risk or Stratego or Scrabble. And you never lose interest in that game because the person you're playing is not somebody you can beat all the time. You know, so I think the secret to happy relationships has something to do, no matter what your chart is, to be able to being able to somehow retain the mystique, to being able to somehow withhold the emotions, or at least not show them all, to somehow be able to retain that Clint Eastwood type attitude where you're not all vulnerable and slushy and wimpy and puppy dogish and easy like that, where the person wants to keep coming back and playing that game because it's fun, because it's exciting, you know? And that's why these marriages last, because every time you wake up in the morning with the person you're with, you say to yourself, now what are they going to pull? What's up next? You know, and it gets kind of crazy. You wonder why a lot of these women and men also are addicted to watching soap operas. You know, and this stuff, this thrashing stuff goes on and on and on in soap operas where they love, you know, what they do, the people have a pattern. Where they fall in love with somebody, and then once they get a commitment from them, then they're not attracted anymore. That the game's over. And then they get dumped by the person they're not attracted to, and then they miss them. So then they fall back in love again, and they come back, and then the person says, okay, let's have the commitment again, and then they get dumped again. You know, and they keep going back and forth where everyone's rejecting everyone, because once you make a commitment of love and affection, the game's over, the game's over, the game's over rejection, the game's over rejection, the game's over rejection, you know, and it keeps going on and on and on, you know, where you wonder what exactly is going on, you know, sometimes. And you don't have to have the natal stress on your chart to have this kind of karma. You know, you could have what we call a blessed chart and have totally unafflicted Venus and a totally unafflicted Mars and be going through this pattern in a transit, right? You could be sitting there with Mars in Cancer or Mars in Aries or Mars in Libra all this time as a woman, and then have perfect relationships your whole life, and then suddenly with the Capricorn transits with Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune going into Capricorn, either squaring your Mars in Libra or Aries or opposing your Mars in Cancer, suddenly your relationships have turned into a major game, a major competition in the last 5 years. And that's what this type of karma is all about. And you know, it's so weird because women don't want to be hurt, right? Women are tired of being used. And of course, once women oftentimes give up their bodies to the guy's hormones, then a lot of guys will say, well, game's over, and they'll bolt. You know, that's some guy's way of judging that they finished the Nintendo game because they've got the girl into the bedroom. So a lot of the women would like to establish some kind of trust, our root, some kind of emotional foundation to a relationship, so they'll try to put the guy off and keep him from having that. But eventually, you know, they set themselves up as a challenge, so it's even worse, because once the guy gets it, he's still gone. You know, and of course, there's so many handsome, good-looking, attractive, charming, intelligent men running around keeping score of their hundreds of thousands of women they've conquered. And that's right, some of these real handsome guys have been with thousands of women, you wouldn't believe, especially some of these Italian and British guys, you know, these guys, really sharp ones that love American women. You know, and they're out there, and they're doing all this, and they're creating a sludge of karma, because it's getting to the point in America especially where we have nothing to go on, where it almost seems that monogamous relationships are becoming antiquated, you know? And I hate to say that, because, you know, along the lines with VD and things like AIDS and stuff like that, which are diseases of promiscuity, you know, it's just, what is monogamy? You know, where is it? Where's the trust? Where's the honor? Where's the respect? Where's the dignity in relationships anymore? Because it seems like whenever you do try to act like a normal, honest, dignified, loving, caring, supportive, nurturing person, and I know lots of men that try it, and they get dumped for doing it, right? And lots of women also try it, and they get dumped for doing it, right? And then you wonder, why do we change? You know, see, you could be a person that would start off that way, to be loyal and honest and caring and dignified and trustful and all that. And then after you're with a person for a few months or a few years, you get cocky and you get secure and you get stable because you've had some good experiences. And then all of a sudden you notice you're being hit up on by other people, and suddenly you become susceptible to that charm. And you know why that is, and you know what the whole point to this incredible topic is. It's the circus of karma that we all currently live in. See, because we've all come back at a very special time in the history of this dimension, of the third dimension. We've all come back at a very major, important point of qualification, which means that many of us are back here with the hundreds of thousands of men and women that we have been with all throughout history. Not just lovers, but husbands and wives. You know who those 50 people are that you've slept with? They're your husbands from past lives. You know about those 200 women that you've slept with? Every one of them has been a wife at one time or another throughout the history of the third dimension. And we've all come back together in this great big whirlpool of karma to somehow try to find a reason as to why we're all so lunatical and so crazy. And why we're all searching and seeking for what we think is perfection, but what we're really trying to do is make a peace with each other, with everyone out there. You know, so the whole point of this topic, I think, more than anything else, is to advise you from my point of view, and this show always remains an open forum and a search for further truth, but in my opinion, instead of worrying about it, instead of having regrets, instead of feeling used or abused or neglected, or instead of having second thoughts about any of your behavioral attitudes, it's always my opinion to embrace whatever you have, whatever it is. You know, and try to have a good time, no matter what you're doing. You know, like if you live your life and you try to sort of control yourself or sort of create levels or prerequisites or values because you think that that's going to help make the next relationship that much more balanced. Because you think that your new prerequisites or your new judgment is going to create an aura which will allow you to have balance and stability in marriage. Forget it. You know, because if you're meant to deal with the karma of 50 relationships, no matter what your values and prerequisites are, if 50 of your husbands are out there from past lives for you to make a peace with, then you're going to have to tackle them one at a time and make a peace with each and every one of them. So you might as well just embrace it. You know, because so many of us feel like sluts, or we feel sleazy, or we feel icky or dirty, or we have regrets. We've been raised Catholic or Jewish or Muslim or whatever. And, you know, a lot of the laws in the religions make you feel like a slut or like a sleaze or a pimp or whatever when you hang out with all these lovers and stuff. And I'm saying if you have to do that, you know, if you are a nomad and if you do have a cycle where you do have a lot of lovers in your life, and, you know, first of all, you know, if you think it's important to protect yourself, that's number one. Safe sex for sure. If you're that promiscuous or if you're involved in violent blood exchanges, that's number one, right? Safe sex for sure. But number two, don't enter relationships or leave them with negative attitudes. You know, just recognize the fact that if you do have squares and oppositions in your chart to your Mars or to your Venus, that relationships are your karma. And this is something that you must tackle. And this is something that you must learn about. And the reason why you have so many relationships and so many lovers is because this is the course that you have chosen to study and grow from and experience life from. You know, some people are meant to be married, and some people are meant to be happily married, and some people are meant to be married and cheated like heck on their relationships they have with their spouses, and the rest of us are out here just floundering in the sea, in the ocean of madness. You know, and I say that to have the best time you can, the most fun you can have, without any regrets, without any malice, without any hostility or vengeance, and, you know, try to be aware of the pattern of the competition of this game called life and why it is that way. It's because of the karma. It's because of the debts we owe each other. When you go after somebody and you know they don't love you and they're not attracted to you, but you can't let go, you're obsessed. You know, it's the old thing. It's like playing that Nintendo game. This is interesting. It's fun for you. You know, you want to try to conquer and win that and finally get the love of that individual that's not attracted to you. So when you finally get it, you can dump them and put them on the shelf, just like so many people do. And, you know, we live our lives and we do not embrace the fact that this game and this reality is real. This is the way millions of young Americans and middle-aged Americans live their lives every single day. Now, this is reality. This is real life, and this is the time for the great qualification. So if you're meant to qualify, it's important to make a peace with yourself and to make a peace with your lovers and to acknowledge the fact to yourself and to your lovers that life can be a game, not to take offense to it in case you act weird, but that's the way it goes, and that's the way it is. And I'm sorry, I can't change it until we all change our consciousness as a whole. And then maybe one day people will be able to live together with love, with respect, with caring, with cooperation, with passion and compassion, and with no games necessary, because we have an energy that is truly called authentic love and not karma. And I think we are moving toward that goal in this sea of madness. And there's your topic, The Game of Life by Farley Malaris. And of course, I'm always welcome to other comments and opinions on the topic. And I just want you to know that I'm not talking about all people, of course, because I do believe that there are people out there, of course, that can have good relationships without games. And of course, some of them may have more improved aspected charts, and on the other hand, others of them may also just have been able to overcome the game and become more godlike about that. So I'm not saying everyone is like that, but I am saying that a lot of people are involved in this game of karma with relationships, and you know who you are.